This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back to Southern New England Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Welcome back to Southern New England Sports Saturday on WEEI. Scott Cordishi, Nick Coit with you. Sox still awaiting their World Series opponent because last night the Brewers forced a Game 7 in the National League Championship Series. They beat the Dodgers in Game 6, 7-2. So Game 7 of the NLCS will be played at Miller Park tonight. World Series Game 1 will be Tuesday night at Fenway Park in Boston. And joining us on the line right now to talk all things Red Sox, he covers the Sox beat for the Providence Journal. Bill Koch is with us this morning. Good morning, Bill.
Morning, guys.
How you feeling, Billy?
Feeling great. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I know it's been a grind, but you've been doing a great job out there, my friend.
And boy, what a first two series for this team. You know, Nick and I are just marveling at the fact that this team is 5-0 on the road against two 100-plus win teams here in the postseason. It's really a credit to the Red Sox because they've brought their best here in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, the way I wrote the story for Game 4, obviously it ran really late, and they pushed back the deadline, and there were no quotes in the version that ran in the Journal, but you know, the way I led that story was the Red Sox have just kind of gritted their collective teeth here. They've gone on the road, and they've been extremely tough, whether it be at bat by at bat, you know, being really disciplined at the plate, or pitcher by pitcher, just you know, refusing to give in, whether it be starters or bullpen guys, really getting key outs in big spots. It's just been a collective effort like it's been all season for them.
I think everybody looks at that Game 5 and just looks at the magnificent performance of David Price, Bill. Just judging by the reaction from him and the teammates after the game, just take us inside the clubhouse a little bit. And it seemed like this team was really, really happy for Price and how finally things paid off for him in the postseason.
Yeah, it's funny, Nick. The night before, after Game 4, David Price spoke with the media for probably about 10 minutes. And he was there holding his son, Xavier, and you know, smiling and laughing and you know, really seemed in a good place mentally. And I think you know, Game 5 was the perfect place for him to make a start in terms of the fact that there really wasn't much to lose there. The Red Sox already had a 3-1 lead. They would have had two more chances to finish the series at Fenway Park. He was starting on short rest, so I'm not really certain how much people expected of him. And he seemed in a real good place. And for him to go out and throw the ball the way he did, it just spoke to sort of this freedom that I think he had mentally. And I think that's always been the biggest thing with David Price. I think he wants to please his teammates, the fans, so badly that he goes out there and he presses. And I think the other night in Game 5, it was probably a little different approach for him, and you could see, the freedom with which he threw the ball, and the stuff, and just the sharpness that he had. I don't think any of that was a coincidence.
Bill, I said earlier before you joined us, the decision to bring in Kimbrel in Game 5 in the ninth inning, he had been scored upon in all of his postseason performances up until that point this postseason. He had pitched two innings the night before, so you could clearly justify, add to the fact that Eovaldi had pitched a great eighth inning, you could clearly justify, if you were Alex Cora, just not bringing him in that spot, saying he went two innings the night before, and then in the back of your mind you're saying he's also struggled here in the playoffs. Did he do that to try to get him back on track, hoping that, hey, we've got a three-run cushion, let's see if we can bring him in here, get him a clean inning, and get him some confidence going into the World Series?
That might end up being a nice benefit of it, Scott, but I'm not certain that's what Cora was going for. First and foremost, he didn't want to get Eovaldi too extended because if anything had gone wrong in the ninth, let's say, if he had sent him back out there, he was afraid of losing him for Game 7. If he had pitched him too long in relief in Game 5, he wasn't necessarily certain how much he would have to start a Game 7. So that was probably his first priority in getting Eovaldi out. The other thing about Kimbrel is, they discovered, or think they discovered, something that was wrong with him over the past few weeks. Cora actually got a text message from Eric Gagne.
I love this.
Who he played with the Red Sox, obviously, on that 07 championship team. And Eric Gagne was watching the Red Sox in the postseason and thinks he noticed Craig Kimbrel tipping his pitches, specifically tipping his breaking ball. And Kimbrel made a couple quick adjustments with Dana Lavangi, the pitching coach, prior to Game 5. And you could see in that outing, he was much better. And the Astros, had much more difficulty, whether it was laying off pitches or trying to square up Kimbrel. Only issued one walk, and I think more importantly, the two strikeouts that were there. They didn't seem to know what was coming, maybe as much as they did in Game 4. So there could have been a couple benefits out of that outing for the Red Sox to take into the World Series.
I love somebody tweeted out after hearing that story about Gagne saying, 11 years later, Eric Gagne comes through for the Red Sox.
Very good.
Yikes. So going forward, Bill, what's the status here with Chris Sale? Obviously, you win Game 5. You don't have to play this weekend. You get some extra rest for your ace. How's he doing? What's his status? Obviously, Cora came out and said he's going to be the Game 1 starter. But health-wise, how's he doing?
Well, Sox have a workout a little later today, so obviously we'll have an update from there. I just know that from the celebrations the other night, Chris Sale was a full participant. so I guess the Patriots would list him as a full participant in celebration,
sure.
If not in practice or in a workout. I think they feel much better about him as the days go on here. He was not going to be able to start Game 5. But I did see him after Game 3, and he was walking around with a bottle of Pedialyte, which meant he was trying to get himself rehydrated and trying to get his strength back a little bit. And realistically, when he starts Game 1 of the World Series, he's going to have a very extended rest, a longer rest than maybe he's had while being healthy in a long time. So, I got to figure that he'll probably throw some kind of bullpen either today or tomorrow. And be ready to take the ball on Tuesday.
Bill, what's the plan for the National League ballpark, be it Milwaukee or Los Angeles, to get J.D. Martinez's bat in the lineup? Where does he play? Who sits?
That's a great question, Scott. I'm not really sure what they're going to do at this point. I would say, though, that if they do end up playing the Dodgers, they're very heavy on left-handed starting pitching, whether it's Clayton Kershaw or Hyunjin Ryu or Rich Hill. So that would lead you to believe that maybe it's Jackie Bradley Jr. who sits. You might have Mookie Betts go to center field. You would see J.D. Martinez play right field. And at that point, you'd also have Steve Pierce at first base, Ian Kinsler at second base, and maybe even Eduardo Nunez making a couple starts at third base. You have to remember that he'd be very familiar with the Dodgers from his time with the Giants before he was traded to the Red Sox. So he might have some insight there on some Dodger pitching. If they play Milwaukee, I think it's a little less determined, only because Milwaukee is going to mix and match with that bullpen, not necessarily have a true starter in a true starter role. But I think Los Angeles, you're certainly probably going to see Jackie Bradley sit, as hard as that is to believe after what he did in the ALCS.
Would you ever feel comfortable against either team putting Mookie Betts in the lineup and putting him at second base?
It's a great debate. I'm not necessarily sure that they would do it, especially not at this point in the year in the World Series. But I don't put anything past Alex Cora. I certainly didn't see Eovaldi coming into Game 5. I didn't figure that he'd risk that with a 3-1 lead. So who knows? I'm sure those topics will be discussed today. They've had a couple days now to sort of pivot to the next series and think about how they would want to approach either one of the National League opponents.
You mentioned Eovaldi. I'm wondering, are the Red Sox sitting on a potential ace or top of the rotation guy here. You look at his stuff and the 100 mile plus per hour fastball and, you know, the biting breaking ball, and you wonder, boy, why hasn't he been better to date? You know, why is this a guy that the Rays were comfortable letting go or trading to the Red Sox? But, boy, he's been money in the big situations for the Red Sox, be it against the Yankees in the regular season or now in the playoffs in both series.
Yeah, the track record is a little strange when you look at the fact that he's had Tommy John surgery twice, or you just watch him during this stretch and look at his raw stuff and say, why hasn't this guy just, you know, cut his way through the league and dominated? So you wonder if the Red Sox, maybe with some sort of approach that they've asked him to take, whether it's certain sequences or pitching to certain spots, whether or not they've unlocked something here in Eovaldi, or, you know, whether or not he's sort of finding himself. You know, this is a guy in his late 20s who's about to hit free agency, and he's going to cash in. I'm going to be really interested to see the market for him, you know, considering the fact that his track record is sort of up and down, and, you know, you're going to have a team come in most likely and blow you away with some sort of number that you don't necessarily expect. You know, he's, every time he takes the ball, though, and you would expect him out there in Game 2 or Game 3 of the World Series, every time he takes the ball and goes out there and performs well, you can just hear the cash register ching in the background.
Yeah. Well, Bill and I, you and I talked about this in New York with that cutter. I mean, and the velocity that he has, the arsenal that he has, is just, when he's on, I mean, he's gangbusters, man. It's awesome. It's awesome to watch.
You know, just generally, I don't know how major league hitters hit major league pitching. It really speaks to just how great they are.
Yeah.
You know, but if all the cutter is a relatively new pitch for him, it's probably something that he added, you know, within the last couple of years. And you can see his confidence sort of growing with it. The fact that he's a right-handed guy, you know, who will throw it front door to right-handed hitters, you know, having it come back on the inner half, that's kind of a dangerous pitch, and it takes a lot of precision to do. You know, but he just seems very confident in anything that he's thrown up to the plate right now.
My last question for you, do the Dodgers scare you more than Milwaukee because of a guy like Kershaw, or who do you think would be a more difficult matchup for Boston?
I actually think that Milwaukee probably has the better lineup, and I know that sounds strange, you know, looking at Los Angeles and seeing, like, Cody Bellinger there, you know, obviously Manny Machado there. But I think Milwaukee is sort of a little bit like Boston in terms of the fact that they have some guys who can grind out at bats like Lorenzo Cain, and they have some guys who can go deep like Jesus Aguilar or even Ryan Braun at this point, who, you know, is probably on the 13th, 14th hole of his career, but, you know, can still be a dangerous guy at the plate. Los Angeles is a little more traditional, especially in terms of their pitching staff, especially in terms of their starting pitching. And the one hole that the Red Sox did have early in the year was facing left-handers. That's why they did make a move for Steve Pierce when they did. You know, so I would be a little bit leery of facing the Dodgers, only because I feel like, you know, long-term, you could have two or three of those guys come out, have good outings, and you could have a difficult time in the series.
Bill, as always, great stuff. Thank you for the time, and hopefully we can do this again next week.
Thanks, Billy.
Guys would love that. Thank you.
All right. Bill Koch, Providence Journal, Red Sox beat writer, wrapping it up for us. I don't think he realized when I said that we could do this next week that he could be in Los Angeles like you. Hey, wait a minute.
I'll get him up. Get up, Billy. I'll get him up. I'll treat you to the coffee. We'll use the same phone. We'll put you on speakerphone.
Perfect.
Why not? Yeah.
Perfect. All right, that'll do it for us on this Saturday morning. Red Sox will open up the World Series Tuesday night at home against either the Dodgers or the Brewers. Game 7 NLCS tonight. Also, got local college football today. Brown hosting Cornell at 1 o'clock. Rhodey's on the road at Stony Brook. Bryant is on the road as well. And tonight, you got the Celtics and the Bruins.
Yep.
As well.
A lot going on. And NLCS Game 7, we'll find out who the Sox are playing in the series, kid.
All right. Thanks to Joe and Laura for putting this whole thing together, and Joe for running the ship this morning. He's Nick. I'm Scott. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This is Southern New England Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.